Thank you, gentlemen. In order to prepare for our study in the second session, we'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we're grateful to you for yet another opportunity to delve into your word. It's our prayer that what we do here in this hour, the Holy Spirit will enlighten us for retention, application, and therefore concentration necessary for deployment. And we'll lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We've introduced a new 10-page document. This is on page 191. And we've made it back to James 5:12. Now, I want to show you some pictures on the board. These are the four verses that are involved in this particular area of James 5. They're different from what you generally expect to see in a passage. Say you open up to chapter 1 of whatever, and say there are 20 verses, for example, in that chapter. And you expect, as you move through that, to have certain subjects addressed. Several, maybe, four or five could conceivably be in a single chapter. Or there could be just two or three. But the thing is there's a sequence that continues to play out as you go through the chapter. In this particular case, and it's not unique, but it is rare, we've got the word but here, and that's on the top of your page in James chapter 5, verse 12. And you'll see a closed parenthesis there in your notes. The closed parenthesis completes two verses, verses 10 and 11. And so they're bracketed, so to speak, by this parenthesis. And the parenthesis is not in your text in your Bible, but the parenthesis is there, and the but has to be dealt with. The but there is de. It's a epsilon, so it's a short e, de, and therefore translated but. Well, if it's a closed parenthesis, where does it open? It opens in verse 10. And so therefore, he has open parenthesis there. We'll see that in a minute. And so what went before? Well, that would be verse 9. And so 9 and 12 don't go together. So what does the but mean? The but has to do with the close of verse 9. Got that? We'll see all this play out as we move through the passage. Excuse me. What you see on the board is expanded translation of these four verses. Verse 9 reads this way, and we've already studied this. We're going to do it again, by the way. Stop criticizing. That's present active imperative mood number 45, a prohibition of the verb may stenazo. Okay, stop criticizing members of the royal family of God against others, fellow believers, so that you yourselves will not be judged. Negative may plus the aorist passive subjunctive of the verb krino, period. Then you have the word see, idu. It means concentrate or observe. So observe this, in other words. The judge, capital J, who's the judge? That's Jesus Christ. C, the judge, kretes, that's Jesus, keeps standing, intensive, perfect, indicative of the verb histeme. And histeme has to do with, in the past, with the result that he keeps on standing before the doors. What do you see there? Who is standing before the doors? Anyone? I just said it told you who it was. The judge, capital J, Judge Jesus, stands before the doors and he is knocking. Why? He knocks because he needs to come in to address an issue. You don't want to hear this knocking going on here. So that's verse 9. Now, let's move on. Well, I won't be able to show you these things, apparently. Oh, I know I use this thing right here. Where's my little thing? Ah, there it is. This thing works, Paul. Paul, thank you for coming to the rescue. But I was under the impression that my digits could move this. And actually, I have to use the electronic contrivance. I apologize. But this has got two verses. I want you to see how this works out because we have an open parenthesis. Okay, this is James 5:10. So we have a pause right in the middle of this passage, you see. So we've seen verse 9. Now we want to take a look at 10 and 11. Okay, notice we open a parenthesis at the beginning of verse 10. We close it at the end of verse 11. See that? Okay, here's how it reads. As an example, we have hoopotomy. I can't see this. Hoopodigma is the word there. Hoopodigma, as an example, hoopodigma, brethren, of suffering a katapathao. I can't see. I got to get where I can see the Greek. Suffering is kakapathia is the word there, and that has to do with suffering and patience. Makrothumia has to do with one's patience. Then you have a comma, and then take, aorist active imperative mood number 46 of the verb lambano. Have and patience. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The speaking here, the imperative mood, take. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. That is an imperative mood. So you got to know about these prophets. Then verse 11, behold, customary present active indicative of the verb makarizo. Behold, in other words, pay attention. We count blessed, aorist, active participle of the verb hupomeno. And hupomeno, therefore, has to do with being blessed. We count blessed those having endured, culminative, aorist, active, indicative of the verb horao. And when we get through with that, we have a period. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that he is full of compassion and is merciful. Okay, we have already broken down these two verses. They're within the parenthetical you hear. You see here at the very end of verse 11, we close the parenthesis. Then what? Then verse 12, the parenthesis is closed. Now we go back to the end of verse 9. But, see that? The but is the cue that you need to go back somewhere. It goes back to the original idea. But, continuative conjunction closing the parenthesis, and that's the word de. So the concept is but, most importantly, before all things, members of the family of God, stop lying. That's present active imperative, mood number 47 of the verb omnimi. Or making promises with a solemn oath. Operation subterfuge. Stop this. You see that? Operation subterfuge. Neither by heaven, using God as a front, neither by earth, using something regarded as sacred or honest or respectable, neither a solemn oath, which is perjury, when this is violated, but let your yes keep on being yes, and your no keep on being no, so that you do not fall into judgment. Now, that's the expanded translation that you have of these four verses. There's a huge amount of information in these four verses. Yes, we've already gone through it, except for verse 12. We've already started it, at least. But what happens in all of this is that James is riding along, and he comes to a spot where he needs to elaborate on something. There can be suffering because you deserve it. There can be suffering because you need to learn that you can use your doctrine to endure a negative circumstance, but your doctrine will get you through it. You have to have the ability to evaluate these four verses. There's a situation that you can be engaged within, and therefore you have to examine your own soul to see if you are receiving divine discipline. On the other hand, you could be in a circumstance where there's a negative concept that's going on that impacts you personally, but it's going to wind up being a blessing for you once it's over. And so you have to endure it by just depending upon the Word of God to show you through it. So there can be circumstances in life where there's divine discipline involved. There's also a circumstance where you are suffering because of situations you confront, people that with whom you're engaged, and that kind of thing, and there will be blessing at the end of that. Because it's the devil's world, other people have volition, there's circumstances that can emerge beyond your ability to manage, and therefore you use doctrine to get through it, and therefore you'll be blessed as a result of the good decisions you make in the process. So all of that's crammed down into four verses. Now, we've done a little of that already, but we're not done yet. But I wanted to put all this together in a package here with four verses, and you could see the parenthetical stuck right in the middle of the four of them. Okay. And therefore, look at your notes. Verse 12 starts all of this as far as the summary is concerned. Now, those will be posted online if you want to see them later on. Now let's just start over. I've read you so far in James 5:12. That's an expanded translation. What you just saw was a collection of expanded translations. Now let's start over. Point one. The word but, which begins verse 12, is a continuative conjunction intended to resume a discourse from verse 9. This particle actually closes the parenthesis. In verse 9, we begin verbal reversionism with the principle of criticizing. In verses 10 and 11, we have the completion of a dissertation on studying adversity for blessing. Are you ever in a circumstance that you wish you were not in, but nevertheless there you are and you have to deal with it? And that's adversity for blessing. Blessing, if you're able to evaluate the circumstance, consult your own inventory of ideas, do I have volitional responsibility for what's going on? And if so, what do? I need to correct this in some way. That's verses 9 and 12. In the middle of it, you have verses 10 and 11. Okay, then there's your parenthetical. So all of these things are going to come out in the end to say there are some circumstances you deserve that you'll have to use your volition to resolve, some circumstances that are extraneous to you, nevertheless you're suffering as a result, and you just have to realize that that is a time for you to endure doctrine and let God take care of the details. Therefore, there's a learning curve involved on both categories in these four verses. Okay. I hope you understand all that, but it's an oddity, at least it is for me. I'm sure there must be thousands of them that I'm not aware of, but nevertheless, here's the one we've got. In verse 12, again, we resume with verbal reversionism. Verse 9 emphasizes the slander, criticism, maligning, and judging of others, especially the pastor-teacher. Now, verse 12 indicates operation subterfuge. The particle de, but, is used to resume the discourse and, in effect, closes the parenthesis. De is the particle used here in the Greek. It indicates that verses 10 and 11 are a slight interruption. The purpose of that interruption was to take a discourse on the fact that there is suffering for blessing. That doesn't happen to be the type of suffering in this passage, but there is suffering for blessing. Now we've got operation 12 indicates operation subterfuge. See that? And therefore, but. It's used to resume the discourse and in effect closes the parenthesis. And on the board, you can see that word. De is the particle used here in the Greek. It indicates that verse 10 and 11 are a slight interruption. The purpose for that interruption was to take a discourse on the fact that there is a category of suffering for blessing. That doesn't happen to be the type of suffering in this passage, but there is a suffering for blessing. Therefore, you can put a parenthesis around these two verses to isolate it from the other two. You, therefore, can use your doctrine to determine when there's a circumstance you would call suffering, whether it is deserved suffering or undeserved suffering. We have both in these four verses. Now, if this sounds confusing, we've just got to deal with it because here it sits. The translation is before all things. The discourse started out indicating the fact that in verse 9, verbal reversionism results in suffering for discipline. Just because a person may be a verbal reversionist and suffer from it, there are other types of suffering which are designed for blessing. You learn in a period of, let's say, trouble, difficulties, and so on. And you go to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. I have no idea how to manage it. But as I do my soul inventory, I can't determine what I may have done to have created this situation. Therefore, may I conclude and assume until further notice that this is suffering for blessing. Now I want to give you an example. Have you had anything whatsoever to do with the current decline of your client nation? Have you shown up at Bible class consistently? I'm in my 40th year. People have come, people have died, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. Some have moved to other pieces of real estate away from here. I'm sure that they're growing in grace wherever they've gone. But how about those who assume that what's going on here is not worth the time or the effort and get in the car and drive away into the sunset? Because of what? Don't know. But I can tell you, I learned to do exegesis 7 years down in Houston, and that was the secret. Don't read a verse out of a version. And we'll read a verse out of here. Then we have a group discussion. What does that mean? Don't know, because this is in English, and you don't know. Somebody's got to go back, in our context, it's going to have to be the Koine Greek. Do you know the Koine Greek? And if you had a Greek Bible, is that any help to you? Well, it could be some, but you got to exegete. What about imperative moods? Can you pick those out? This is a do this or don't do that, one of the two. Therefore, God said, I know, let's have a place where people can go, and I'll give certain individual men the spiritual gift of communication to be able to go into the scriptures and delve out from the original languages and put all of that information in their current vocabulary. And you'll have to therefore exegete the originals and get it in best you can into the language that your audience speaks and understands. That would be English for us. And that's what I was trained to do, and that's what I've been doing for almost 40 years. Why am I saying that to you? You may not like me, and I understand why. I'm an odd duck. But I can tell you this. When it comes to what I do here, I've learned how to do this. Now, you may not agree with anything, and it's off-the-cuff stuff. I do things off-the-cuff. You say, I just don't think he should have said that. Well, you probably have many opportunities to say, I wish he hadn't said that. In fact, I said something last Sunday, by the way, that I thought was just a common idiom that I've used all my life. And I was told later that the idiom was nothing that could be used in genteel society. So Paul got out his knife and cut that out, trying to keep me out of jail or something. I forget what it was. But the deal is a pastor does have a personality. You know, some people are boring. I've been told that I am a boring pastor, and I don't doubt that. Nevertheless, I do sit at my desk. It was 1:30 getting to bed last night so I could come here and bore you with this. Because I feel like what's on the page here has been researched to the nth degree. And if you don't like that I part my hair wrong, it's hard for me to comb my hair because it grows in many different directions because I stuck my head under a Jeep. But I'm just trying to do the best I can, okay? What's my point? My point is, if the exegesis is accurate, then there's one legitimate reason to leave the church. I believe this guy's not my right pastor. I got no problem with the exegesis and all of this, but it's just something that I'd rather not have to delve into, and that's okay. But I'll have to admit to you, my dad would tell you, he's dead now, he could come in here and stand before you and not stutter. He'd say, it never crossed my mind that he would wind up being a pastor. Never crossed my mind. But apparently something happened. Then we got this big, fat, juicy butt here. The translation is before all things. The discourse started out indicating the fact that in verse 9, verbal reversionism results in suffering for discipline. Just because a person may be a verbal reversionist and suffer from it, there are other types of suffering which are designed for blessing. And so I'm suffering because I said something I shouldn't have said. I was told. I thought what I said was right on the spot. But nevertheless, that's just me. The translation is before all things. The discourse started out indicating the fact now that verse 9, in that verse, verbal reversionism results in suffering for discipline. Just because a person may be a verbal reversionist and suffer from it, there are other types of suffering which are designed for blessing. Now back on verbal reversionism, the suffering for discipline, James 5:9 reads this way. Stop criticizing. Present active imperative mood number 45, a prohibition of the verb may stenazo, members of the royal family of God. Stop criticizing members of the royal family. Okay, now when I say the amen in the first sessions on Sunday and everybody goes over here to get tea and crumpets and mill around and they're saying, I just want you to know that that guy that used to be here every Sunday is not here today. He's a ringer. He was in a car wreck and both arms had to be amputated. You see, you don't know why he's not here. Is he not here because he's negative toward the Word of God and has gone to a happy clappy? You don't know that. He may be dead. So what do? You pray for the guy. Father, if he's in verse 9, I'll pray for that. If he's in verses 10 and 11, I pray for that. And get it off your mind. Stop criticizing members of the royal family of God against others, fellow believers, so that you yourselves will not be judged. See, the judge, capital J, keeps standing in the past with the result that he keeps standing before the doors. Now, don't turn the page because I had a problem with the word doors. I go to my Greek dictionaries, and the dictionaries indicate that the word here is plural. Where the translations into English vary from singular door to plural doors. And then I look at another Greek deal and it looks like that word there is plural, but over here in this particular reference it's a singular. So I've put doors. That opens the parenthesis of verse 10. Now, in verse 12, we resume the discourse with another negative. Again, we're going to have the present active imperative of the phrase, do not swear. The present active imperative mood number 47 of prohibition of the verb. Therefore, we have this concept. Do not swear. Omnime. Now, we've closed the parenthesis. That's just verse 12. 11 is closed out. We now go back to the flow of verses 9 and 12. 10 and 11 are within the parenthesis. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Who's standing at the door? The judge. Omnime is the way it looks in the Greek. Omnime means to promise with an oath, to cover a lie by making an oath in the name of something that will act as a front for operation subterfuge. Omnime indicates that the content of what is said is a lie. In order to make it appear as truth, is to make some kind of a solemn oath with it. A typical solemn oath is, as God is my witness. But properly stated, as God is my witness. Thus and so is true. Okay, who are you to come up and say, as God is my witness? No, you assume it is true. And you want to make sure these people buy into what you've got to say. And so you say, God, as God is my witness, such and such is true. When it's not true at all. You just sold a lie, and therefore subterfuge. This is using God to front for a lie, and that's the concept. So this subterfuge is addressed to fellow believers, indicated by the term, my brethren. The slick-tongued rascal is lying to those with whom he associates in the local church, and they're all members of the royal family of God. So we have a negative may. That's an eta there, so it has a, when you pronounce the eta, it's like a long A. May, with imperative mood, indicates that believers to whom this was originally addressed were doing this. In fact, there were actually believers involved in verbal reversionism. The present tense is a present tense of duration, which is called retroactive linear action sort, and indicates these believers have been doing this since they got into verbal reversionism. The active voice, the reversionistic believer, uses a front for his lies to try to make them appear as truth. So again, Operation Subterfuge. I could use a crass term, but you know one, when you think, oh, he's just a subterfuger. You fill in the blank. Passage begins in verse 12. And then we have the word but here. I show the close parenthetical. We're back to verse 9 continuing. But above all, the preposition de, my brethren, do not swear. We have may plus the present active imperative mood, number 47 of omnimy, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. And we have allus, we have horcus. Allus, horcus, by any other oath. It's prohibition of engaging in operation subterfuge. Now, are you ever involved in Operation Subterfuge? We have it right here in this passage, so it's not unusual. You can spin a yarn as God is my witness. Next time you're at a family reunion, look out for that. Now, don't intervene, because you don't want to interrupt the flow. You want all the facts. Just at the family reunion, listen to what people are saying to each other. Well, I'll tell you this, and then in parenthesis, as God is my witness, and then they tell the subterfuge. And you say, a liar, liar, pants on fire. So here we go with James 12:8. But above all, the preposition de, my brethren, do not swear. See that? Present active imperative mood number 47 of omnimy, either by heaven or by earth, or, quote, with any other oath, allus horcus, prohibition of engaging in operation subterfuge, right there in verse 12. Point one, we've already introduced the technique of including a front to back up the subterfuge with an oath of which James provides examples. Number one, by heaven, two, by earth, or three, with any other oath. The fronts in the context of verse 12 have been used to attack a pastor teacher by using one or more of these fronts. However, anyone may be the victim, but in this passage, the issue is an attack on the authority of the pastor teacher, and this has led to the loss of his authority over the congregation. You can't believe anything that old boy says. I don't think he's right about that. Okay, then we could have a contest. We have McCafferneys over here, and we can have come up to the McCafferney and say, tell the congregation why you think thus and so should be this and that, and sit back and wait and see what the dissertation is. And he says, because of my exegetical analysis being a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, graduated summa cum laude, I can tell you that your analysis from the Greek is erroneous, and here's why. Then I would have to start taking notes. Or he would say, I just felt like that it would be better if we looked at it this way, as God is my witness. Or with any other oath. These fronts, in the context of verse 12, are being used to attack a pastor teacher by using one or more of these fronts. However, anyone may be the victim, but in this passage, the issue is an attack on the authority of the pastor, and this has led to the loss of his authority over the congregation. And that's why I'll stay up until 1:30 in the morning to make sure that these things are spot on. In the function of Operation Subterfuge, we have here the reversionist who is doing it and his victim, just as in verse 9. Now I've got just a few more minutes, so let's find a place to stop here. Grudge not means stop judging, stop criticizing, stop maligning. It says, grudge not. My brother, do not swear, okay? And oaths, swearing and oaths. Grudge not means stop judging, stop criticizing, stop maligning. The victim in verse 9 is the pastor teacher. The victim in verse 12 is the pastor teacher again. The victim can be anyone in verbal reversionism, but in this context, it is the pastor teacher in context. So, what kind of danger is this guy, this woman, whoever, what kind of danger are they now in calling out verbally to others personal criticism of the pastor? Well, you say, well, I will not put up with that. Up with that I will not put. No, you can call me anything you want because you have free will. The problem with that is this. If this guy is willing to stay up till 1:30 this morning, willing to stay up to 1:30 to make sure that he's been through all of this from the originals, and you got a problem with it, that's okay if you don't understand. I certainly understand that part. I went through 12 years of school and 4 at university not understanding most of everything I heard. I understand not getting it. But I'm telling you this. If you have a problem with a pastor, just say to yourself, Father, I'm sure it's because there's something I don't understand. However, I just can't go listen to him anymore, but just don't think I can grow in grace under him. So silently walk out one of the 8 doors. Grudge not, it says here. It means stop judging, stop criticizing, stop maligning. The victim of verse 9 is the pastor teacher. The victim in verse 12 is the pastor teacher again. The victim can be anyone in verbal reversionism, but in this context, it is the pastor teacher. The authority of the pastor teacher has been rejected. Since his authority is rejected, he has become the object and the target of criticism in verse 9. In verse 12, he has become the object of Operation Subterfuge. You got to verify your conclusion. So the authority of the pastor teacher has been rejected. This is using something ordinarily associated with the truth to cover up for a lie. And this indicates both instability and dishonesty in verbal reversionism. What is used as a front, and our first phrase says neither by heaven. This refers to using God as a front. That's God is my witness, some will say, to cover up a lie. God is used as the front. God is associated with truth, and therefore, if you want to make a lie more impressive, then mention the fact that God is the witness, and therefore, as a result, you're telling the truth. Another offshoot of this is to stand up in the congregational meeting and say, it's God's will that we do it this way. Usually deacons. I was a deacon one time in the first church. And so the men of great renown in the community would stand up all dressed to the nines and say, God is my witness. And say, thus, Therefore, as a result of God being my witness, I don't see how we can do anything other than what I want to do. As God is my witness. Another offshoot of this is to stand up in a congregation meeting and say this. That is merely an opinion. And when an opinion is expressed as an absolute, it becomes a lie. So to use God to front for the lie is again operation subterfuge, using something associated with truth in order to front for either an opinion set up as an absolute or a lie set up as the truth. Operation subterfuge, you take something verbally like a lie and say, in effect, it is truth. Or you take an opinion and make it an absolute. Doctrine is absolute. In either case, you must have a front for acceptability. And the phrase, neither by heaven, refers to God, setting up God as the front. Well, I've run out of time, but we'll resume our study next Sunday. I'm going to give you a heads up. Next Sunday, I will be here to resume our study on page 193. And then I've warned you, first session, Johanna and I are going to abscond and go to L.A. for a huge family. Yes, ma'am. One of us will be here. If Gary can't be here, I'll be here.
So next class is Wednesday night.
This is this coming Wednesday you're talking, isn't it?
Yes.
Do anybody know where Gary is and where he's going to be Wednesday?
He's in Houston.
He's gone. When is he going to be here Wednesday?
He's in Houston, honey, all week.
Oh, all week, okay.
This is the Wednesday you're supposed to
take,
on the 10th.
Oh, well, great. I'll see you Wednesday. And then again on Sunday, and then I'll abscond then. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity we've had today to delve into your word and accrue within our souls concepts and ideas that are essential in understanding how to evaluate incoming flak. The word of God enables us to do this through your grace, and we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.